Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm in a fix. Before I went to Peru, my family was real concerned that I would get over there and starve to death. And, when I got back and they saw that my face was a little fatter and my waist was a little wider, they wondered what happened. I discovered Peruvian food. And as good as it is, it's not as good as Peruvian coffee. Any coffee lovers in the house this morning? How many of you have ever had Peruvian coffee? Raise your hand. The rest of you, you need to get you some. I praise the Lord for the experience of serving Him. When I went, I really did. I thought, I'm going to go over here and feel sorry for these people because they don't have what we have. But it's not that at all. Listen, those people have more than we have in ways that we don't realize it. You just got a glimpse of the thankfulness that's in the hearts of those people. Now, I am in no way indicting anyone here today. I don't know what's in your heart, but I know what was in my heart. And God used that experience to teach me some things. And I trust that... Now listen, you don't have to go to Peru for God to teach you anything. I want to make that very clear. God will teach you just as you are, where you are, if you'll just listen to Him. God has brought my attention to this psalm, and I want to bring your attention to just a few things in this psalm. We may stay in the psalm a few weeks. I may not even get out of verse number 1 today. I don't know. I know this. David made a choice. And I hope that you have made this choice. Now, sometimes we can think we've made a choice and the choice is over and it's done. But sometimes we have to make the choice again and again and again. It's just, we're just kind of wired that way. We're just kind of wired to where when we make a choice, we really mean it. And we do it, and then we kind of go back. And I believe that's what's happening here in Psalm 103. I want you to look at it. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You know, when we think of bless, we think of us on the receiving end. We think of the greater blessing the lesser. We think of the Lord blessing us. But here David is saying, I want to bless God. I want to make God. Now the word bless, it comes from the root word happy. I want to make God happy. That's what he's saying. I want my actions, I want my praise, I want my adoration. There is a strong affection. When you look this word up, it has an emphasis with a strong affection. I want to make my God happy because of what I do. I do not want to grieve my God. We can grieve God. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to grieve Him. I don't want to make Him sorrowful. David said, I want to make Him happy. I want my life to make my God happy for me. He said, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now watch this. Oh, my soul. See, that's where man communicates with God. I looked that word soul up and it just means the breath. To be breathed upon. It's that part that God breathed into Adam. and man became a living soul. And he said, I want that part that communicates with God. It's just something to me that David is calling upon his soul. I read over, and I want you to do so. Turn over to Psalm 107. There are many psalms where David is saying, listen, I want you to bless God. I want you to give God thanks. And brethren, we should. We should encourage one another to give thanks unto the Lord. And David is, there's just many times in the Psalms, and there's many times throughout the life of the saints that they're saying, you know what? We serve a mighty God. We serve a great God. And I want you to thank God for His goodness. I think that none really is greater as an example than Psalm 107. Look, if you would, in Psalm 107 in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. And then he said in verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And it's like David is saying, he's calling upon all of God's people, give thanks unto God. And then you look down in verse number 8, and he says this four times in this psalm. In verse number 8, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And there's an exclamation mark there. It's just with emphasis. David is saying, oh, how my heart yearns to hear God's people praise His name. He said it again, and he even gives reasons why men should. And then we get down to verse 15 again, and he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. What is David doing here? He's summoning the people. He's calling upon God's people. And he's saying, folks, think about what God has done for you. He says it again in verse number 21. He says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. David is calling upon it. He says it again in verse 31, the same thing. What is David doing? He's doing what he's done in many, many, many of the Psalms and throughout his life. He's doing what the saints of God have done for ages. But when you go back to Psalm 103, David is not doing that. David is not summoning others to give glory to God. He is not summoning others to bless the Lord. He's summoning himself. You know, we can get lazy souled. Our souls can get lazy. We can get to places in our lives to where the goodness of God is just so plentiful and the ways of God are so good that we just expect it. And we take it for granted. Now, I can't speak for you, but I'm going to speak for me. God has awakened something in me to where I don't want to be okay with just mediocrity. I don't want to be okay with just going through the motions and checking the boxes and having things pretty good. I want to make it very clear, God has been far better to me than I deserve. But I have not shown Him the glory. And I have not given Him the thanks that He deserves. And I publicly this morning want to ask God to forgive me for my half-hearted way of approaching Him and His work and His people and the life that He has given me. God deserves my best, my all. And David, as he is reflecting back over his life, is calling upon his innermost being. And he is saying, get up in me, soul. Rise up in me. And give God the glory. It's a choice. Don't be lazy-souled. Don't take it for granted. Don't just keep taking and taking and taking without giving in return to the God who gave it all. And so he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Listen, that word oh there, it just says it all, doesn't it? He could have very easily just have said, bless the Lord, my soul. But you can just hear the longing, the yearning in David's request as he summons within himself, rise up in me and give the God that deserves all the glory. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. He's worthy of all of our praise. And he said, bless the Lord. Make my God happy. Make my God pleased. Make my God noticed. Make my God exalted. Make my God magnified. Make my God be known to all that are around me that he is worthy of all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Watch it now. And all that is within me. Commentators say, well, David could have been talking about all the parts of his being. We are told in the scripture, we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. And perhaps this is what David is saying. He is saying, I want to start with my soul. I want my soul to bless God. I want my heart to bless God. I want my mind to bless God. I want my voice to bless God. I want my thoughts to bless God. I want my actions to bless God. I want my words to bless God. I want everything about me to make my God happy. Amen. But perhaps David is saying, I want all of me. I want 100%. I don't want to be half-hearted in anything I do for God. I don't want it to be just a little token of what I have. That's where the word strength comes in. With all of my strength, I want to bless my God. With all that's within me, I don't want to listen to me, and I am not condemning. I'm preaching this morning, and if it condemns, then it will condemn. I mean it to comfort, but if God uses it to condemn, then so be it. I don't want to use up all of my energy on a ball game or entertainment or all that's going on in this world. This world is no friend of grace. This world has done nothing for me. I want all of my strength. I want all that's within me to bless my God who has done everything for me. How could I give him anything less? How could I give him anything less? Brethren, I summons you as David summons himself. I have summoned myself, and now I summons you. Will you bless the Lord with all of your soul, with all that is within you? Will you bless his holy name? It's a choice. It's a choice. You say, well, I choose not to. Well, that's your prerogative. That's your choice. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. And I do not. I have no way of knowing that. You don't know where I'm at in life, Pastor. No, I don't. I don't. But I do know this. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Habakkuk. You say, did you say Habakkuk? You may want to turn to the table of contents first. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. And let's look at a couple of verses there in chapter 3. In Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk has been through a very difficult time. And I've preached through this book, not going to do it now. But I want to show you what the conclusion that Habakkuk comes to. And it's a conclusion that I have come to, and I'll have to come to it again. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because I know me. I'm just an old ungrateful. I can be selfish. I have to fight not to be what I am naturally. You know, just like you. I'll help those of you that were on the fence there. And I'm not saying because you're that way that it's okay for me to be that way. And I'm not saying because you're that way it's easier for me to say I'm that way. I'm saying it because it's so. And I have some decisions to make in spite of who I am. And despite of all my flaws and failures and weaknesses, I have decisions to make. I can decide that I'm going to put on a front and I'm going to rely on the energy of the flesh and I'm going to lean on my own understanding. Or I'm going to come clean with God and say, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. God, you know my heart. My heart is for me, but I have a soul, and my soul has been redeemed. My soul has united with the God of heaven, and I wanted all of my soul to affect all of me, to give God all that He deserves. Amen. But God, if you don't help me, I'll take the reins just as sure as I'm preaching to you right now. I'll take those reins back. The sun won't even set this evening before I've taken the reins back. I'm just sorry that way. Say, preacher, you shouldn't admit that in front of these children. The children need to know this old flesh is wicked. You take the word flesh and turn it around backwards and take the H off and it spells self. And that's what we are. We're full of self. In the back it said, I'm going to make a choice. I'm not going to praise God only when things are going good. Amen. I'm not only going to bless God when all things are right and good in my life. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear me very clearly here. I believe that's why there's a whole lot left out in our praise, in our thanksgiving. We're waiting for the right moment. We're waiting for the right circumstances. We're waiting for the stars to align and for everything to fall into place in our lives. Brethren, we're living in a sin-cursed world. We're living the weakness of this old flesh. If I'm going to bless God, I need to do it, good or bad. Blessing or cursing. Healthy or crippled. A little or a lot. Amen. Habakkuk said, that's what I'm going to do. Look at verse number 17. I encourage you, if you've not read through the book of Habakkuk recently, to please do so. After Habakkuk went through what he went through, he said, although, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Well, it sounds like Habakkuk's got himself a problem. It sounds like Habakkuk doesn't have a whole lot put away for a rainy day. Amen. It sounds like Habakkuk's kind of living from day to day, and tomorrow's not looking promising. You know, the way that we live sometimes. And Habakkuk said, but I'm not going to wait to praise God until all of this changes. As a matter of fact, I'm going to praise God and it's going to change my circumstances. Amen. You see, I'm a firm believer that the Word of God teaches that outlook has a lot to do with outcome. Because if you have a very dim, pessimistic outlook, you'll probably be a doubter. You will probably practice the sin of unbelief. But if your outlook is not based upon what you have or who you are or how you are faring in life, but rather on the power of Almighty God and the promises of Almighty God and the protection of Almighty God and the provision of Almighty God. You'll say like Habakkuk. Look at that next word in verse, the first word in verse number 18. Yet. Yet. I am going to make a decision here. It's not looking good. It's not faring well on the horizon. And I think we could say that about our country today. I think we could say that about our political situation today. I think we could say that about really the condition of most churches today. I think we could say that about the condition of this old sin-cursed world today. It's just not looking good, brethren. But I got to tell you, we have a God in heaven. And God has not died. He's not even sick. I read the story of Charles Spurgeon, who was a great preacher. And one day, as he was moping around his house, Charles Spurgeon literally, now listen, if you've never read the biography of Charles Spurgeon, he was a man who dealt with depression, deep depression. And one day when he was around the house, his wife came to him as he was moping around. I'm talking about yet. Yet. And his wife said, well, are you ready? And he said, ready for what? She said, we need to get ready. He said, for what, my love? She said, the funeral. He said, what funeral? She said, God's. He said, well, God, honey, God's not dead. Jesus came out of the tomb. She said, well, I didn't know. The way you're moping around and the way you're doubting God, I thought maybe he died again. And I got to tell you, that spoke to my heart. And it let me know that circumstances can get us in a place to where we will doubt God. We will not accept his promises. We will not live by faith. We will not act upon his word. And we'll begin to look at our circumstances and we'll let that control our lives instead of this almighty, all-powerful God that David said, bless him, all my soul and all that is within me. Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. You see what's happening here? Brethren, if we're not careful, the circumstances and the predicaments of life, listen, I'm human like you. I bleed the blood that you bleed. I face the things that you face. I'm running the race that you're running. I'm just in a different lane. We all have our race to run. Amen. But we cannot allow these things to cause us, as we go back to Psalm 103, and I'll close here, to cause us to cast a poor reflection over the God that we serve. God forgive me. And I mean this with everything that's within me. God forgive me for living under my circumstances instead of under your leadership. For living based upon how things are instead of based upon who you are. God forgive me. God forgive me. I will probably, I have no intention, but if God lets me live for 2 weeks, I will probably have to stand up here and say that again because I'm broken, brethren. I'm broken. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean just like you. I'm broken. I leak. I'm fractured. You say, so you're just saying this? I'm saying it because it's my heart. But I have no confidence in this flesh. Right now, as I stand before you, with all that's within me, I bless his name. He is worthy. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. with the promise that I will pray for you. I'm going to ask you to pray for that person that irritates you right here in this church. They say, "Oh, preacher, we're all friends." Don't kid yourself. We're all family. Family overlook far more than friends do. Say amen with me. "Oh, now, preacher, I can't think of anybody in the church that irritates me." Well, I'm not through yet. Before this message is over, you might pray for me. We have a way of getting on each other's nerves. Amen? Of doing things that kind of rub us wrong. Of acting a certain way. Now see, right now in your mind, you're trying to think of somebody. But you may be that somebody. Don't think so highly of yourself. You thought I meant somebody that was rubbing you the wrong way. You might be that someone. We need to pray one for another. Hey, I have something I want to ask you to do. Instead of talking about the thing that irritates you about that person, would you pray and ask God to help you love them anyway? Amen. Would you? By this. You want to please God? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one for another. Amen, church? That's right. You say, "Well, I just can't help it. They irritate me." You can help it. It's a choice. Let me close with this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I'm going to do it. You know how many names God has? Anybody here? Anybody know how many names God has? I don't. I couldn't count them all. There's not dozens of names. There's not scores of names. A score is 20. There's not scores of names. God has hundreds of names. I just wrote down a few of them. Now, what is David saying? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. David is saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." You see the word "bless" there? It's in italics. His holy name. David said, "I have experienced God through His name." David said, "I've got a fresh look at God through His name." And then he goes on to say in verse number 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." I'm going to come back to the name as I close. We'll pick up here, the Lord willing, next time. I don't know when that'll be. I'll pray. And I want you to pray. You see, worshiping God, blessing God, is not just an arousal of the emotion. Now, please listen to me. Thank God for the arousal of emotion. Amen. What is David doing here? He is given a rational approach to why he should bless His name. He's not just saying, "You know what? Soul, rise up in me, get happy, and bless God." He's saying, "Soul, you've forgotten, haven't you? Look at verse 2 now. Look at it. You've forgotten, haven't you, soul? And forget not all His benefits." You forgot, soul. You forgot. How many of God's blessings have I forgotten? God, forgive me. Forgive me. So David said, "I want to give you some rational reasons why you should praise the Lord." Look what he started with in verse 3. How about this one? "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. He forgave all my sin. I've been set free, brethren. If you're saved, you have too. That's a great place to start. And it just keeps on naming throughout this psalm. Rational, biblical reasons that we need to bless the Lord. Would you go home and go through this psalm and just start writing down reasons to bless the Lord? You say, preacher, I don't have any reason to bless the Lord. Oh, my. Oh, my. I implore you, open your Bible to Psalm 103 and get in a quiet place. Maybe get you a good cup of Peruvian coffee and sit there and begin to just look back over the course of your life. And I'm telling you right now, you might make it to number 5 before you broke down, before you break down just like I did. And you'll say, God, forgive me. You have been so good to me. How could I not bless your name? I don't want to be a forgetful soul. I just want to bless you, Lord. I want to bless you. And I don't want to forget all your benefits. Bless his holy name. Would you stand? I'm just going to read you some of these. Look, if I read, these are just, listen, I quit writing, but I just want to show you something. I won't read them all. One page. These are from the scripture. I got a scripture reference by every one of them. 2 pages. 3 pages. I just quit writing. These are biblical names of God. You say, what's that got to do with anything, preacher? Well, listen, you have to understand something about biblical names. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What's in a name? A lot. A lot. And so God said, David, I want you to experience me through my name. That's why the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Because the name of God is not to be spoken in vain, it's to be spoken in victory and in praise. Throughout the scripture, God gives us names that he wants to identify with us by. I'll just give you a few of them. In Isaiah 40, he's Jehovah. In Psalm 23, he's Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord is my shepherd. In Genesis 22, he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. In Exodus chapter 3, he is I am that I am. In Exodus 15, he is the Lord that healeth thee. In Exodus 17, he is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. In Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8, he is the Lord which sanctifieth thee. And Judges 6, 24, he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. In Hebrews 2, he is the author of our salvation. In 1 Corinthians 2, he is the Lord of glory. In Revelation 1, he is the Almighty. In Revelation 1, 17, he's the first and the last. In Psalm 89, he's the faithful witness. In Colossians 1, 15, he is the image of the invisible God. In Isaiah 9, he is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In Mark chapter number 10, he's the ransom. In Exodus 15, as I said, he is the Lord which healeth us. In Hebrews 1, he is the heir of all things. In Revelation 21, he's the temple. In Isaiah 8, he's the sanctuary. In Hebrews 7, he's the intercessor. In Hebrews 12, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. In 1 John 2, he is our advocate. In Hebrews 7, he is the surety of a better covenant. In John 13, he's the master teacher. In John 11, he's the resurrection and the life. In John 14, he's the way, the truth, and the life. In 1 Corinthians 1, he's the wisdom of God. In 1 Timothy 2, he is the one mediator between God and man. In John 1:34, he's the Son of God. In John 1:29, he's the Lamb of God. In Matthew 17, he's the beloved Son of the Father. In John 20, he's the Lord. In John 1, he's the Word become flesh. In Daniel 9, he's the Messiah. In Revelation 22, he's Alpha and Omega. In Luke 2, he is the Savior of the world. In Job 19, he's the Redeemer. In John 8, he's the light of the world. In Colossians 1, he's the creator of all things. In John 6, he's the bread of life. In Hebrews 3, he's our high priest. In 1 Peter 1, he's the Lamb without blemish and without spot. In Revelation 13, he's the Lamb from the foundation of the world. In Hebrews 13, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. In John 10, he's the good shepherd. In 1 Peter 4, chapter 5, verse 4, he's the chief shepherd. In Psalm 18, he's the rock. In Psalm 31, he's my rock and my fortress. In Psalm 46, he is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It goes on and on, brethren. No wonder David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Who is he to you? Your Savior? Your friend? Your high priest? Your intercessor? Is he the rock that you flee to in the time of trouble? Is he your refuge and strength in the time of weakness? Can I say unto you, my brethren, he is all of that and more. No wonder David summons his soul. As I would challenge myself again and you this morning, would you summons your soul and say, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Let's bow our heads for prayer.